today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
We take a trip to Havana.
And fend off an attack by goblins from Mars. Patrick, where are we this week?
Oh, Jim, you know, we're in the suburbs, but like the really close-in suburbs. Is Arlington a suburb?
Arlington is a suburb, right? Mm-hmm. Washington, D.C., right?
Suburb. You guys are kind of on the suburban tour, right?
Yeah, we are, absolutely. Yeah, that's really the whole point of the show, is just to go around to people's homes, have them give us, you know, alcohol and food in exchange for us, I don't know, bringing this foolishness.
Pretty good skin.
Well, welcome to Arlington.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So
that voice you heard
is...
Jeremy Terrace.
Yes. Jeremy Terrace. Yes. I am the host of this episode, and welcome to our house.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having us here in Arlington. And Jeremy, we used to know each other from before when we all worked at a certain place that we don't work at anymore. So
Yeah. Fond memories of when we worked on Dad Rock, right?
Oh,
right?
You said that. Yeah. We did not. But it was fine. It was good. You know, I liked the place we used to work, but now we do this, and we're here tonight on a Saturday night. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, so fun. Thanks for having us, Jeremy.
Thank you for coming over.
This is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And also with us on this episode is...
Hello, my name's Gino Yoham, also a friend of Jeremy Terrace. We worked together at another company before the company you guys just mentioned.
Are we not allowed to mention the places that we used to work?
I don't know.
Is there a policy?
Well,
the show
Jim's been in some legal trouble that we don't want to get into right now.
So,
thank you, Gino, for being here, man.
Thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
So you are a... tell us a little bit about the company you used to work at that has a very musical connection to our audience.
For about 4.5 years, I was the general manager and product lead for a little product called Winamp.
That's going back in the vaults, Jim.
And Shoutcast. Shoutcast is part of Winamp.
Shoutcast, the radio product, and Winamp, the music player and manager, yes.
Yes. When Jeremy mentioned Winamp to me earlier in the week, I was like, oh my gosh, I had forgotten about that. So my apologies if that offends anyone here, but
it offended us.
Okay.
Back in the days when people had a lot of MP3s and they needed to manage them and listen to music that way.
Right, sure.
That's right. I remembered it then. I was like, oh my gosh, Winamp.
I know. It was a thing. It was a real big thing.
Yeah.
It absolutely was. Yeah. And then what was the other thing? Shoutcast?
Shoutcast Radio? Yes. Yeah.
So what was that? I don't remember that.
Shoutcast was a radio broadcasting platform, so you could make your own radio station. We had over 50,000 radio stations in our index, and music from all over the world. Great way for independent radio to and a platform for that.
Hmm. Kind of like the Blogger of...
it was the Blogger of radio.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Very interesting.
What do you mean make your own radio station? How did that work? Is that different from what we're trying to do here?
The pre-podcast era. I mean, I guess it kind of was,
It was pre-podcast. There was talk radio, there was radio playlisting, there was radio broadcasting, there were shows, themes, all kinds of genres.
So we were ahead of the time, I think.
If I made my own radio station, or if Patrick and I made our own radio station, does that mean we're talking like 24 hours a day? Is that what people want?
Maybe not 24 hours a day, but maybe put some music in between.
Oh, okay.
Maybe that's why it didn't work out.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe that's why
we're broadcasting from anymore. Fitzgerald Chevrolet now, downtown. It's 4 a.m.
We could do 24 hours sometime, right?
Yeah, I think people should enjoy that.
The marathon.
The marathon?
Yeah.
That's a challenge.
Count me in for at least one hour of that.
As I mentioned last week, though, at some point we're just going to be reciting NBA scores.
That's right.
That's right. Your EPL thing, right?
Yep.
Which Everton lost today, by the way.
He did, yeah. At home.
Are you impressed that I know that I'm following that?
Yeah. Okay. We know the boy.
All right. Let's move on. So, speaking of the boy who got me into soccer, today on this episode at Jeremy's house, we're going to talk about music the kids have gotten us into in some way, right? Or
kind of.
Is that the idea?
We've been forced to listen to a lot of pop music in our house, and I think we're trying to filter out some songs that we might actually enjoy.
Now, how old are your kids? And Jeremy, you should introduce your lovely wife sitting right next to you.
I'll let Allison introduce herself. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Allison. Great to be here.
Thank you for hosting us, Allison, very much. So you have kids?
Are you usually
two kids?
The kids are in the other room. They're 7 and 10, and they like pop music, which is, I guess, one step above the kind of music they used to listen to, which was Raffi.
So yeah. And yeah. You know, your kids are a little older.
A little older. Yep. 18, 15, and 11. Yeah.
Wow, you're old, Gino.
Yes.
And I have 17 and 13.
Yep.
And Patrick's are all, what, about 35?
Yeah, so 51, 19, and 7. Yeah, it's a strange age. Wow. Fred. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You're a healthy man.
That's right.
All right. So, Jeremy, give us an example here of what your kids are into.
Well, we spent some time last night interviewing our kids and asking them what did they actually like. And
so you actually prepared for Rock in the Suburbs, different than what Jim and I.
Not so much, because you know, pop is tough for us. I mean, we've learned to appreciate pop, but it's maybe kind of slightly embarrassing to admit that there's some pop songs that we like. And so we asked our daughter what she likes, and her first response was like, "Well, I like all pop. I like the top pop." And so we had to kind of drill down a little bit in terms of what are the specific songs that she likes. And the song that she likes the most is a song called Havana.
Hmm. Yeah.
Ever heard of it?
No.
Camila Cabello. Yes, that's it.
I
guess it's on the radio a little bit. And
It's a pretty hot song right now.
Yes, but we listen to it. It's got a good beat. You know, it's okay.
All right, let's all hear it.
You want to hear it?
Like that, with the little lazy vocal, a little bit behind the beat. That was really nice.
I think this is probably the first time ever that Jim has admitted that he didn't actually know a song.
Oh no,
because Jim knows everything, no. And it's on the radio a lot. But I don't know.
First of all, that's not true. But second of all, I will admit to people that I have a big gap when it comes to like current, you know, pop, like radio music. Right? It's just that's not really where I'm discovering things these days. But I do try, at least with my kids, when they like something, to, you know, give it a try and listen to it. And so I think that's fun when you discover something that way. I want to say something about this, right? I think in my old age, I can still read this correctly. You may want to confirm this, Patrick, but apparently this song has, is that Holy 700 million streams
that is 700 million.
On Spotify?
That's a popular song.
That's unbelievable. Those are like, Justin Bieber numbers right there. Those are huge numbers.
So the band's, look at this, 43, the artist, Camila Cabello?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, monthly listeners, 43 million.
Good God.
Monthly listeners.
It's got to be in the top five.
The bands I listen to, monthly listeners, it'll be like 1,500. You know?
We're going to pick the pop. Wow.
19.
Here.
Yeah.
Wow. Even though none of us know how to pronounce.
You mean these guys are on Spotify? Amazing!
Yes. Wow, this is that's amazing.
I liked it. I thought it was kind of cool. Yeah, it had a little reggaeton, old school influence, but it also was kind of lazy and nice. And then seemed like there was kind of a breakdown section.
She's Cuban, and it feels like it has an authentic, you know, Cuban music sort of
exactly.
You know, beat to it and characteristics. Yep. Right. So yeah, I like that.
That's cool.
And. What else we got? What else is coming from the
kids?
So
what do you guys really hate?
Well, what's the one song that was the challenge, makes you want to... It's kind of like understanding what she actually listens to beyond just like, hey, here's the top pop, and then kind of listening to what she's enjoying, which kind of tended to be, I think, somewhat redundant, and I had a hard time kind of picking out what actually had a good beat and what we would actually enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
I had a thought. Okay. So I'm always... really bothered by the lyrics because as a mom, my kids are singing along to songs about sex and they have no idea what they're saying. And that's a good thing.
Right now. Yeah.
But apart from that, you know, pop lyrics are not usually very deep, right? They're pretty shallow. They have a very similar cadence. And but one day we were in the car listening to Pink, and Pink has, you know, she has a formula, and her formula is making her very popular right now with, you know, power, and, you know, everybody wants everybody to get up and dance and feel good about themselves. And she has this huge hit out right now called What About Us? And, you know, it sounds like a love song with angst. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to it in the car while my, you know, kids are, one of them was singing along or trying to. They can't, they don't know the full lyrics. So that's also, you know, kids trying to sing along. And all of a sudden it sounded like, almost like it had a social agenda in it. You know, like I heard it in a completely different way. And I have no idea if that's what was intended. But it just, all of a sudden I thought, wow, maybe there is a deeper layer to all of this than I realized.
That's really interesting. Yeah. And do you like the song?
It's okay.
Okay. You know, Dylan wrote some pretty stilted melodies that had a good message too, so.
Are you familiar with this song,
no,
Patrick?
No, I'm not.
Would you like to be?
Yeah, I would love to.
All right.
Let's play it.
We are searchlights. We can see in the dark. We are rockets pointed up at the stars. We are billions of beautiful hearts. And you sold us down the river too far. What about us? To be solved. We are children that need to be loved.
So that was really interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go on.
I was actually reading the lyrics as that song went along. So that was a totally different experience than just kind of hearing it, because the melody is really embedded kind of in the groove, right? But when you're actually looking at what she's saying, it's really fascinating.
And this is a current song, right? Or it's it looks like the album just came out last year.
Yeah, it's on the radio right now.
So do you think this is somehow commentary on modern America, what's been going on lately? Or when you say it had, you know, kind of have social
aspects to it? Listen to this. We are problems that want to be solved. We're children that need to be loved. We were willing. We came when you called. But man, you fooled us. Enough is enough.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. Yeah.
So we did have an election not that long ago. I don't know. In pop, you can't really be political in pop music. It's pretty vanilla.
These days, that's for sure.
Right, yeah. Right. So was this a veiled take on, you know, her feelings? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And it's also interesting to read it from like a parental perspective too, you know,
right?
To maybe younger listeners hearing it, right, and saying, "Oh yeah, you know, we obeyed what you're saying, but you know, you guys aren't
that's
really,
right,
like living the dream."
It could be against you, mom and dad,
and that's the best punk rock.
That's
team.
Right.
Swear out.
So you guys don't listen to as much kind of current pop, but you cover, you know, you cover like the perfect pop, right? And you talk about kind of classic pop song. So what do you think about like current pop, and how does pop music make that transition to classic or the perfect pop that you would cover? Am I allowed to ask questions?
You can. No, we don't encourage it. For obvious reasons. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I it's interesting to think about, the way pop cycles through, right? So it's always a certain part of a generation or a population saying the current stuff is disposable, like it's terrible. And then the next one is like, that's my classic stuff, and that's where all the good stuff was made. Right. But it really just kind of keeps recycling, right? But it depends on your age and how you're getting it, either by osmosis or by direct choice. So without a doubt, probably like in 20 years, this will be held up as, potentially could be held up as an anthem.
It could be. I mean, and when it comes to perfect pop, to me, there's no like one way to define it. I think there are different songs that that anyone could sort of define as perfect for different reasons.
Right.
So when we put together our lists and we have that feature from time to time on the show, it may be a song that I pick I may have a completely different reason why I think it's a perfect pop song versus one that I did before.
Yeah.
And I think a current song can fit that if it, for whatever reason, just completely works. In fact, maybe if it is a song sort of speaking about the current times, you could say like, wow, that song is just, perfectly executed for what we need today. So that was kind of a long-winded answer on pontificating about nothing. But then, which is kind of what the show is all about. But then the other question about sort of current pop, I don't ever want to be one of those people who's like, and I know people like this, we all do, the music of today is all crap. The music when I was a kid was all great. I don't believe that at all.
Yeah.
But I do believe to some extent, like radio pop, top 40 pop, things like that, is aimed at this generation, the young generation today. It's not necessarily really aimed at me, and so I like them to have that. Like that's their soundtrack. That's what they should cling on to. I don't, as a parent, I try to expose kids to stuff, but I don't try to force it on them. And in fact, I don't think I'd really want them to just be like into my music. I want them to be like, have the experience I had when I was a kid and discover their own thing and be part of like what's happening currently among their peers. Right. And not be this odd kid over in the corner who's like listening to XTC or something like that. Right. Like who, right. So anyway,
well, and that's an approach I tried with my kids when they were young. I would make CDs and put popular music that I liked in the car, and everything from Elvis Costello to the good years of the Beatles to Replacements and Pavement. And I asked my daughter the other day, I interviewed her talking and looking forward to this episode. I said, do you remember any of that music? And she goes, no, not really. So, but she, I remember a song about a bird and we talked about it for a little bit. It happened to be Roadrunner by Modern Lovers. I liked that song. I was like, good, good. I got one in there. But really the thing that I think I was most proud of is that she's passionate about music. She has all of her own music. So that idea of having music around and talking about it and making it important and making it a part of her life when she was young has transitioned. And now she has her, and I lived through a lot of One Direction in the house in 1975 in the house, and now we come to some common ground. She likes Kendrick Lamar and Keith Ocean, and I like a lot of that too. So
right, so she's kind of, they're kind of getting there, right? And that's interesting you say that too, Gino, because that was kind of the experience with my kids, is that I played them a lot of stuff. Like I made specific mixtapes with their names on it, right? And it soaked in a certain way, but I didn't really realize it until later, right? When they got a little older, I was like, oh, it did work.
Appreciate music from different genres, but they need to kind of discover music on their own from whatever sources, whether it's kind of radio, the social network, their friends. Mm-hmm. Our son is kind of experiencing music from a different category. He plays a lot of video games, and then they watch their video games on YouTube, and there's a soundtrack against the video games. And he, apparently he's listening to kind of EDM or techno or electronic, whatever you call it. And one of the bands he likes is Goblins from Mars. And there are other ones, but we started listening to it as well with him, and it's kind of fun. So we're discovering music from him as well.
So you're on Twitch a lot.
We're on Twitch. We're on YouTube. We're on, they're on it a lot, and we're on it through osmosis.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. And I think if you go back and listen at one point, Jim, I nominated a Nicki Minaj song for my perfect pop song because I heard it so many times going to and from soccer practice. It was like, the power of like 13-year-olds all singing a song that they all know with like the windows down in the car driving home on a summer night, that's pretty magical stuff. You know, that's kind of the root, as you were saying, Jim, it's marketed toward that experience, you know, kind of right there. So, you know, because of that, I've always loved that Nicki Minaj song, and it is perfect. There's not a note out of place.
I think the only thing I don't like about the generation of music listeners today, and I'm probably an outlier on this. I would think most parents probably do like the way this is, this dynamic, is that kids today, they tend to almost always listen on earbuds. Mm-hmm. So it's not like when we were kids and maybe had like a stereo or a boombox or things like that. And then, you know, you had your mom saying, turn that down, right? Like I never, or very rarely actually hear what they're listening to because they're teenagers now. And they're whenever they listen to music, it's on their earbuds. So like I'm in a lot of ways, I'm not exposed to it. Yeah, I would have to do like you would have to go and ask, like, what is this thing you're listening to?
Great point. We have kind of a little different experience in our house in that our kids aren't using headphones as much. And we're using a lot of these kind of voice things like Alexa and all that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Connected to different speakers. And so they'll be shouting out kind of different, you know, categories or, you know, artists that they like. And whether it's good or bad, and sometimes it probably more often than not is kind of bad,
you gotta hear
their music
anyway.
Is blaring through kind of the house, and so we're kind of sharing in music in that way.
How about you, Gino? How do your kids consume music mainly?
I'd like to thank good music consultants and shows and video games. A couple of examples. My boys, I have two younger boys as well, and they do play a lot of video games. They watch shows like The Walking. My middle one loves The Walking Dead.
Wow.
Got into Bob Dylan because they featured "Don't Look Twice, It's All Right" in an episode. So now he's listened to a little bit of Bob Dylan.
That's kind of cool.
And the Rolling Stones were featured painted black in a video game ad. Thank you, music consultants, for doing a good job.
You know, that's such an interesting point, too, because I think that's one of the most powerful and influential jobs right now in sort of media is who are the music consultants for these shows that are being streamed a lot and what, you know, songs are they picking? I mean, it goes back to like the OC, Jim, right, where they would do those soundtracks and things. It was like, who's doing the music for BoJack Horseman? Like, that's really important. Maybe not that.
No, they have some cool music on that show. They do.
No, I remember Dawson's Creek, and
right.
They would say, featuring
example.
This artist.
Exactly. And then you could, you know, find that song, right? And at this point, you could buy it from iTunes.
Then you'd go to
right?
Tower Records and listen to it on headphones and then maybe purchase the CD.
Exactly. but I think that's such a great point. Those music consultants for those shows, you know, Orange is the New Black or Take Whatever You Have, right? You know, Black Mirror, right? Those are really important kind of jobs.
It is today. I mean, that's where artists can make a lot of money or some money at least is getting their music on TV and film. I don't know. When I was a kid, I used to watch The Young Ones and they'd always have a little musical break where a band would play.
They did.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So right. That was a great show.
That was great. Okay.
That's a whole different episode. That's our different podcast.
We should wrap this one up.
Let's do that.
And then we're going to stay over tonight
you
and we're going to come back tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
And we're going to...
Oliver's going to be licking my face. I think that's an enthusiastic dog.
Oliver's a dog.
I hope that's a dog. Yeah.
Oliver is the dog.
Thank
and
you,
apparently he likes... he's our dog and he does like country music. So I guess we'll be talking to him.
We're going to have a dog story tomorrow. So you want to...
Well, Kevin Spain did lick my face once in the middle of night. That's a different story.
All right. So... If you want to hear stories like that, listen to Rock in the Suburbs.
Every day.
You can find the show on all the big podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and SoundCloud and Google Play and Spotify, which we just talked about. We don't have 700 million listens yet.
Not yet. We're getting there.
We're working on it.
Legit. Yes.
Jeremy's working on that for us. And please rate and review the show. We've gotten a couple of good reviews last couple of days,
amazing
so that's
reviews.
Good. Let's keep that train moving.
Can't take long. Just jot down a few thoughts.
Rate and review on Apple Podcasts, and then also
subscribe
on Apple Podcasts or any of your favorite platform, wherever you listen. If you want to talk about music that your kids have gotten you into or any other topic, you can call our Suburban Party line. It is
612-440-1984.
Right.
Maybe tomorrow we'll play you guys the jingle.
Yeah, the jingle's coming up tomorrow.
Get your thoughts on that, Jeremy.
Or you can email us rock@suburbspod.com.
Please
or
do.
You can find us on the social medias of which the kids are into.
Yeah.
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Suburbs Pod. There we go. I think
you can always stick your head out the window and just yell.
Yeah.
If you do
some
that,
some people do that.
Somebody will come to your aid.
Somebody will come and do something.
That's right.
I'll be to your aid. All right. So we're going to play out here with a band that Jeremy mentioned.
Yeah.
Never heard of this band. Goblins from Mars.
Okay.
I got nothing.
And you didn't have a song in particular. You said just pick one, right?
Just pick some Overwatch random.
Oh, this is not random. I'm picking this for a purpose. I'm picking this based purely on song title.
All right.
Attack of the Sloth.
Oh, my God.
All right. So, it's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
Jeremy Terrace.
Gina Yoham.
And Allison Terrace.
And we'll be here, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you soon.
Patrick and I made our own radio station. Does that mean we're talking like 24 hours a day? Is that what people want?